From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. And you're listening to the song Swaying Trees by Takanobu, performed by a pair of classically trained musicians based in Atlanta. Might sound vaguely familiar since Takanobu is frequently used on NPR shows and the Invisibilia podcast. 2019 is shaping up to be a big year for composer Nick Takanobu Ogawa and Catherine Cook, who perform together as Takanobu, with an album coming out on May 24th and an upcoming tour with Kishibashi. But before all of that, they're joining me in the studio. Welcome to you both.
Thanks. Hi, thanks
good
for
morning.
Having us.
So, Nick, I'm going to start with you. Takanobu means iron will in Japanese.
Yep.
It's also your middle name. So why use this as your nom de musique?
Well, it seemed like a better option than the Nick Ogawa band, which I thought would be pretty lame to use. And it's convenient as, an all-encompassing band and solo name. So I use it when I play with other people in the past. Now it's me and Catherine, but I've also used it when it was just me solo.
An iron will, that's forceful, that's a evocative name.
Yeah, that's kind of a loose translation of the kanji, which are like self-belief, kind of. But the name comes from an amalgamation of the kanji in my dad and grandfather's names.
Well, you started writing and performing as Takanobu. This was back in 2007. Recorded your first album, Introduction, mm-hmm. completely on your own, but did get some help to fund its release from a singer-songwriter competition in New York. What happened there?
So it was a national competition called the Williamsburg Live Singer-Songwriter Competition, and I think I applied at a minute to midnight on the deadline of
just
of
like
application.
A true artist.
But it was several rounds of live performance. I think there was like several thousand entries, and then the final night was 9 finalists, and I won and got some prize money and used that to fund my album.
Yeah, and there was another competitor there that year, a woman named Lizzie Grant,
yep.
who became...
Lana Del Rey.
Lana Del Rey.
Yep.
So did you two meet during the competition?
She reached out to me over MySpace, actually.
Those were the days.
Yeah, so that kind of dates things a bit. But I recorded on some of her early stuff back then. And then she went on to become... super famous. So.
Well, you won the competition.
Yeah, I won the competition. So, who's coming?
Catherine, how about for you? You were formerly trained in an mm-hmm. academic sense, mm-hmm. undergrad and master's in violin performance. Where were you around this time, 2007?
2007, I was still in high school.
Okay.
Playing violin. And
how did you guys start playing together?
When I moved to East Atlanta, we started working for the same dog walking company, actually. and then somebody there introduced us as two musicians, and it just so happened that Nick was looking for a violinist to play with in his band. So
this is all working along,
yeah, exactly.
coming together just perfectly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and Nick, you submitted that album to a little music company called Pandora.
Yep.
But not much happened, so you got a job then at a software company, right?
Down here, it was... I was a marketing person in like a business phone company. It was pretty, pretty dry stuff.
But so that was in 2008 when you moved to
2008,
Atlanta.
Yeah, moved down here. And at my mom's suggestion, I had submitted my album to Pandora and nothing happened for a while. But then after 3 years or so, I started to notice an uptick in my iTunes downloads. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon it was a car payment. And then it was a... rent payment, and I said goodbye to the corporate world.
Okay, so incrementally.
Mm-hmm.
So before that, had you thought, like, that's it, I gave it a shot? But...
kind of. I mean, I always wanted to keep playing music, but, it didn't seem realistic to make my living at it, especially living in New York previous to Atlanta. It was very cutthroat and felt like you had to be, at a level I couldn't attain to really be a professional musician there. So
especially if you have to have a day job.
Yeah, have a day job, do music, and, stay up until 2 in the morning to play, crappy gigs on the Lower East Side. So it was a nice move to Atlanta. I love the city, but it was really nice to be able to go full-time with music.
So meanwhile, Catherine, you're on track to be performing in symphonies. You're a freelancer, and you actually do perform with everyone from the Atlanta Opera to Michael Bublé, I understand. So was that your career trajectory or goal when you started?
Yeah, originally in music school, I mean, you're kind of trained for that, just to take auditions and, you know, try and be in a symphony full time. But I don't know. It never quite fit my personality to commit to that fully. So as soon as I was out of music school, it seemed like I was always playing in a band or, you know, with, you know, playing different types of music other than just classical. So, yeah, it's just a little bit of everything now, which I love.
Well, let's hear a little bit more of the music that, Nick, you made when you started making money. You quit your job and wrote and recorded your second album in 2011. Here's the song Exposition from the album of the same name. So in this case, is this all you, you know, layering yourself on top of yourself?
Exactly. Multi-layered.
A one-man show.
Recording, yeah. One-man band kind of thing, which in live performance we accomplish with loop pedals, recording ourselves as we play that, you know, continues to loop and we can layer stuff over top.
Well, this sort of moves and progresses through a little bit of an emotional journey. I mean, what was going on for you mood-wise here?
Well, it was sort of my freedom anthem, being able to, you know, escape the workaday life that I was not really into myself, and be able to just do music full time, which is what I had always wanted to do.
This is you breaking off the old ball and chain.
Yeah.
That is Nick Ogawa, and Catherine Cook is also with us. They make up the Atlanta-based classical pop folk whatever group, Takanobu, and joining me in the studio. That is something. I went to the Big Ears Festival a couple months ago, and they were talking about, like, reporters were talking about how they report on this music, and they always feel like, you know, if something doesn't fit into a certain genre, they have to start with, well, it's not for everybody, or, you know, that there's a way that they have to kind of explain it. Do you find yourself explaining what you do?
Yeah, I mean, I find myself trying to avoid explaining it. I've fallen back on just referring to it as cinematic folk, which seems to be a convenient catch-all because the, you know, the instrumentation is not straight up folk guitar, you know, classic instruments for folk, but it's not quite folk, you know, it's not quite, you know, movie soundtrack stuff either. We're singing and
Seems like no matter what label you apply to it, people will go to the extreme of that. So it's not quite folk either.
Yeah.
And but you have done some stuff for video creators, right?
Yeah. That's actually kind of where things have taken me. Started with, you know, more like web video type of things, but now getting into composing for indie feature films, which has been great. I did a documentary a couple years ago and a feature last year and working on a feature now. So it's really fun stuff.
So what is that process like? You're watching something and you're trying to create a mood.
You're trying to, you know, capture the unspoken emotional backstory to the actor's actions and the director's intentions. And, you know, documentary, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit easier, I would say. But with feature film stuff, it's actually kind of more fun to do.
But you talked about, you know, that your downloads started paying eventually for what you, the car payment, right?
Yeah,
the stuff
payment,
you wanted to do. And this is a story that really could only happen in the digital age.
It's true.
You have fans, but how about, you know, downloads? Does that equal bookings if you say, hey, I'm Takanobu, I would love to play at your club.
Right.
Take a chance on me.
It's actually, that's the main struggle, because the algorithms are so good at personalizing people's tastes that the listeners can find the music, but it's not very transparent to the booking agents. So we really haven't done that much touring. This summer is going to be more our bigger foray into touring, which has been, you know, exciting to try to plan, but also a struggle to get the gigs because people don't know who we are.
The venues we have been to, even though that they're small, it seems like they're totally filled to capacity. And
well, yeah, I mean, the 50 person, you know.
Well, I know, but everybody there is going up to Nick and just saying, oh, I've been listening to your music for years. I've been waiting to see you live. It's pretty cool.
It does feel good. But yeah, and people, I find a lot of people say that they listened to the music when they were studying for something. It seems like a concentration music type of thing.
It's a little, it's, you know, somewhat repetitive, but there's enough variety that you don't feel like you're listening to
white noise things. It. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
The waterfall things outside of the massage.
Yeah, hopefully a little more engaging than that.
Well, there's another backstory here, too, which is you two as a couple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're now engaged.
Yeah.
Okay, so where did that happen?
Well, it happened out on the West Coast when we were on tour last fall. Yeah. But we started dating pretty soon after we started playing together. We'd been rehearsing for a show. And I just kind of caught feelings for Catherine.
<Caught feelings.
laughs> and had to express that to her. And then, we played the show in Portland and we were heading up to Seattle, but we took a detour through Cannon Beach on the Oregon coast.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on a hike and I popped the question. Knelt down in the mud.
So there's a kind of romance there's an alchemy in the relationship and in the music as
sure.
well.
Yeah.
So Catherine, though, you're still working under Takanobu. What are you bringing? What do you feel like you're bringing to this combination?
So much.
No, I mean, it's hard for me to answer, but female vocals, which had been there only a little bit before. And I think, you know, since I am classically trained, I think I can bring some sophistication to my parts.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're going to keep calling this Takanobu, or?
I think so for now, yeah. I mean, Catherine's been a great addition to the sound. She has a, you know, beautiful, sweet voice and a really nice violin tone and great musical sensibility, too. It's a really nice compliment to what I would, you know. I mean, we do a lot of improvising stuff instrumentally, and Catherine is, you know, kind of a rare classically trained musician who's really comfortable with that kind of thing.
I think when we started out playing together too, I was just doing what you wanted me to do. You know, like you were telling me, okay, here are the parts.
But as like a base, you know, framework.
Exactly. But I'm, you know, now I think we're working together as a team much more about how we want it to sound live and, you know, what direction we want it to go.
And my suspicion is that Catherine will be really good at songwriting when she gets more comfortable doing that. So I've been encouraging her to do that.
Mm-hmm. And lots of practice coming up with your tour with Kishibashi. I want to thank you both, Nick Ogawa and Catherine Cook, for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Together, they are the Atlanta-based Takanobu. And we said we'd leave you with another song. This one is called Nobody Said.